this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, Mick Monagle here with you. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So, yeah, we open with the Mets. Let's get to the other half of this Subway Series that will start tomorrow night. Two teams heading in opposite directions. Now, I've said that a couple times this year, and it's always been the opposite direction. Not this time. Right now, the Mets are the hottest team in baseball, and the Yankees are playing their worst baseball of the season. If they've lost three series in a row, they'd never lost two series in a row prior to this, and now they've lost three series in a row. No doubt, the competition has gotten a little bit stiffer. That certainly has something to do with it, but it's about the New York Yankees. And what right now they're doing is typical bad team stuff. That's what bad teams do, because ultimately the pitching hasn't been that awful except for two starts. I mean, you know, obviously Luis Gil got lit up. And then, obviously, Rodon got lit up. But besides that, starting pitching's been okay. Nestor Cortez had two great starts. Was great again yesterday, seven innings. Three runs, perfectly fine for Nestor Cortez. The offense has to do more. Offense hasn't hit left-handed pitching. When they do pitch or score runs, the bullpen blows it and then gets absolutely lit up. Like, it's just right now, they can't figure out a way to win an extra innings at all. They just do things that bad teams do. They're having a stretch. Like, you know, and the overall conversation, I know nobody wants to hear it. The team says they're not panicking. I'm not panicking. This is a stretch of bad baseball. It happens over the course of 162. Does that mean when people say, oh, you know, the winning was, I love the term, I love this one, the winning was covering up the holes? Well, there weren't as many holes when you're winning. Yeah, I mean, technically, yeah. Do those holes still exist? I suppose that, but they weren't gaping holes. Otherwise, you would be losing. Like manhole covers. They're covering up the holes. But that means the holes aren't there. And right now, the holes are there. It's obvious. They've added J.D. Davis. And we'll see. I'm going to get to that in a second and how they're going to use him. The bottom of the lineup hasn't been that good. Verdugo is in a big-time funk. Soto's really doing nothing but walking and singles. He's not driving the baseball, impacting the baseball. He hasn't hit a home run in forever. He's been, you know, struggling on some level. And we're going to get to him as well and getting called out and not, you know, taking time and not getting it and still stepping out of the box. We'll get to that in a second. But I wanted to start with Stanton here because, obviously, that's another now new hole to this team where Stanton's been great, playing the best real baseball of his arguably Yankee tenure since maybe 2018. Like this has been a great stretch for him. He's really, especially recently, he's been really good, one of their best hitters. And right now he's on the IL and he's going to miss at least 4 weeks. And here's a couple things about Stanton. One, we all expected this. Like, I don't think any, like, oh, you see, I told you. Like, everyone knew he was going to get hurt. Brian Cashman said it at the beginning of the year. It's part of his game. We all got mad at Brian Cashman because that's what we do. We all got mad at Brian Cashman for saying it. Why would you say that about a teammate? Why would you say that about someone on the team, even if it's true? But nobody doubted it's true. He was going to get hurt. I was shocked he made it this far. I think everybody was, but I was never lulled into some misconception that he was never going to hit the IL. Now, it didn't have to be 4 weeks like he's saying it's going to be now, and it certainly didn't have to be from jogging around the base. Like, it's amazing. Like last year, if you remember, he hit a ball in the gap that was misplayed by an outfielder. And it looked like it was just going to be, or the other way around, it looked like it was going to be an easy double, and then the guy got to it quicker or something, and he had to pick up speed. He went from a slight jog to a sprint to make sure he wasn't hurt at second base, and that's where he got hurt. Right? Now, that alone, that's enough to be like, what the hell, man? I mean, all you're doing is running. How do you, you know, pull a hamstring and, or whatever, a calf muscle, whatever it was, and gone for 2 months? He was gone for forever. The other night, I was in the ballpark. I was there, and I happened to be on the third base line. I saw him running around the bases. I don't know if you've seen Giancarlo run recently, but he doesn't. He jogs. Giancarlo, no, injuries might be in his game, but running is not. He does not run. He jogs. He jogs everywhere. He jogs to the store. He jogs to the valet. He jogs to the gym. He doesn't run anywhere. I'm telling you right now, if he were in the middle of a stampede, he would jog for his life. He does not run. How someone can pull their hamstring, a professional athlete, who, by the way, I can fully admit and tell you for sure, for certain, he stretched in the outfield. I watched him. He did all of the normal stretching routine. He did the whole bit, the whole nine, out there in the outfield running, or I shouldn't say that, jogging sprints. He was out there jogging sprints. He was out there jogging the bases. His nose was jogging. I saw the whole thing. He was stretching, all of it. And yet, rounding third in a jog was enough to pull a hamstring where he's going to miss a month, which is mine. And we hope it's a month. Let's be honest. We hope it's a month. But here's my problem with Stanton. And here's my concern. And this is now a major concern. There is no doubt about it. This lineup desperately needed Giancarlo Stanton. And the idea that obviously Jason Dominguez is injured is now even more devastating, because this clearly would have been the spot. And I know Boone said they would have considered it. He would have been up here. You would see Judge DH a lot. You would see Soto DH a lot. You'd see Verdugo DH a lot. And you would see them rotate this outfield and Dominguez DH. But Dominguez would have been called up. It's a no-brainer. And he was killing it in AAA. And now, because he pulled an oblique, and we're going to have to start worrying about him. I mean, Tommy John and an oblique in the past, you know, calendar year, not even, in the past 9-10 months. But that's what makes this tough. But right now, in the middle of this lineup, as Verdugo has gone into the tank, as Soto's kind of struggling a bit, and we already had DJ LeMahieu, Gleyber Torres having a down year, DJ LeMahieu being non-existent, Trevino actually playing pretty well offensively as, you know, until recently, and now Oswaldo Cabrera, like the bottom of the lineup, we know what it is. It's still a lineup that has scored more runs than anybody else, but I mean, except maybe the Orioles. But right now, that's a gaping hole in the middle of the lineup, a gaping hole. And the problem is, there's nothing you can do about it. You can add J.D. Davis. You can add the J.D. Davises of the world who have been released. That's it. Then no, there are no trades being made. And my biggest concern is, I don't know how Dominguez is, how long he's going to be gone. But the problem with Stanton is, all right, it takes 4 weeks. Normally does. It's when he comes back, it takes him forever to get his swing back. He almost needs a full spring training to get back. And right now, he was swinging it as good as he's swung it in forever. This is a brutal injury for the New York Yankees, whether it's expected or not. This one hurts. This one really hurts, because that's how good he's been. That's how good he's been. You know, some of the other injuries you could live with. I mean, obviously, Soto or Judge was scary. But they've had some bullpen injuries. Like, you can live with it. Right? LeMahieu started the year, you could live with it. Amazingly enough, they've been living and thriving without Cole, which is shocking. But this team right now, as they're playing, as this lineup sucks against left-handed pitching, you just took a right-handed power bat who hits the ball harder than anyone in baseball, who's having the best year he's had as a New York Yankee, really, since 2018, and you just took him away for a month, and then I don't know what kind of player returns. It's certainly not the exact same player who left yet on Saturday night. I can promise you that. Not for a few more weeks of playing, at least. This is a devastating injury for the New York Yankees. A devastating injury. Don't minimize it. Don't downplay it. This is a very difficult injury for the New York Yankees to overcome. And it's going to be a stretch now until they can get a trade partner, which is going to be tough to find anyway. It's harder to trade at the trade deadline than it's ever been. But this injury from Stanton is a killer for a team right now that's just absolutely struggling, going through a normal ups and downs of a major league season. As you saw, and I don't want to get too much into this. I spent a lot of the day arguing with people on Twitter. Every once in a while, I decided to pick a fight with people and have some fun. But, because it bothers me. Because we went into this series asking, the Yankees can't beat good teams. The Yankees can't beat good teams. And somehow we've thrusted the Red Sox into that conversation because clearly they're a good team only because they beat the Yankees. And that's why I said yesterday, this was actually an enormous game for the Atlanta Braves. Because if the Braves lost this game yesterday, they would just be another trash team that the Yankees beat up on their way to building a Fugazi best record in the American League. But if they won and beat the Yankees as they did, well, now they are a World Series contender who the Yankees can't hang with. So congratulations to the Atlanta Braves. They are now a World Series contender yet again. And their offense and their struggles are long behind them now, and they are about to thrive and take off because they are a good baseball team inside this league. They are a World Series contender, and it's proven by the fact that the Yankees can't play well against them. So congratulations. Good to know for the Atlanta Braves. I was unaware if they were told how important this game was for them yesterday. But this Yankee team absolutely is playing their worst baseball of the season. They're terrible against left-handed pitching. They've lost their third consecutive series. And this is just part of it. Soto's going through a slump. Verdugo's falling off. The starting pitching doesn't pitch well when you get one bad start out of Luis Hill. But hopefully you got Cole and Hill back on the mound for this Mets series. And the offense is going to have to come through, and J.D. Davis is going to have to come through. But the Stanton injury, and we're going to get to J.D. Davis and how he's used, and some of the other aspects of this Yankee team right now that are concerning. But yeah, no doubt, this Yankee team is absolutely in a funk, an absolute funk. They're making poor choices on the base path, as we saw Volpe get thrown out at third. And just everything, the team right now has just been unable to get anything going. And the Stanton injury sucks. And what really sucks about it is 4 weeks, great. 4 weeks, and who do we get back in 4 weeks? Because the last several times he's been injured, he comes back and looks like a shell of himself. And last year, I don't think he ever broke the shell. He was never the same, ever. And that can't happen. Can't happen, not with Dominguez hurt. 888-808-1019, let's get to the calls. Barry and Wyckoff. What's up, Barry?
Hey, I was calling about Stanton.
Yeah.
Now, he got injured and what up, but you need like a timeout. I love you. You're a great Yankee fan and stuff. But it's not all doom and gloom. When Stanton was a shell of himself, when he came back last time, he wasn't that good before he got hurt. This year, I think things will be different. But
He was better. He was better.
It was
2 weeks. He got hurt 2 weeks into the season, but he actually got off to a pretty good start in those 2 weeks.
And it's funny. In exactly the same spot on the field. Right there, 2 feet past third base, he pulled up when he got hurt last year. But please send him. I understand anybody could have been sent. My grandmother could have made it home. But, he's a special animal. And he was base to base.
I understand what you're saying. Gleyber went down the line. He could have bear crawled home.
Of course. Listen, of course. But he's slower than a bee. He's worse than fragile than a bee. Listen, remember Chen Ming Wang? They're playing this interleague game where the pitchers had a bat.
Yeah.
And somebody sent him. Yeah. You never saw him again. Special fielders. Somebody sent him and he broke his towers.
Barry, I'm sorry. I just can't agree with that. I'm sorry. I hear what you're saying. This wasn't a close play. It wasn't even remotely a close play. What are you supposed to do? He's jogging. Is he station to station no matter what happens? So if he was at second base, if a ball gets hit in the gap, the center fielder dies for it and it rolls all the way to the wall, he's got to stop at third? What if it's a triple? He's got to run if there's nobody in front of him and he cakewalked home. Even with the pulled hamstring, he walked right home. You got to send him. You can't play with him. I understand. Listen, he's told not to run. We've already established he ain't running. That's for sure. If that was going to be a bang-bang play at the plate, he is going to casually jog into a tag. That's it. He ain't running. And I understand it because they can't afford injuries like this. But you can't tell me it's on the coach for sending, and it's not on Luis Rojas for sending him on a ball down the line that he cakewalked home. I mean, I'm sorry. You just can't. He's a Major League Baseball player. He's got to be able to jog home. I mean, that's a bit much. We're going to get on him. That's his. I mean, listen, he can't stay healthy. And we knew it was going to happen, too. That's like, I know people are going to take, like I heard Gio the other morning, they were praising Stanton. He's like, I'm telling you, I don't know. You praise him now. You know the injury's coming. And I felt like calling and saying, yeah, we all know. You're not wrong. The injury was coming. I don't think there was any doubt Stanton was going to get hurt this year. I'm almost glad it's now because at least he'll have time to come back. The worst thing about this is we always knew in the back of our minds that Dominguez was coming back. He was coming back from the injury. He was going to be the starting center fielder, but he was supposed to be the starting center fielder, you know, from last year on. He got hurt. Judge is playing center field because they have no other option. And as much as, you know, you want, you know, once Dominguez comes back, he'll be in there. But the team was going so well that when he first came off the injured list, it didn't make sense. They were on fire. Verdugo was, extremely important in the middle of the order. Stanton was swinging it, and there was no way to put him. So you can't have him be a bench player. This would have easily allowed this transition. And, hey, maybe Stanton never comes back and plays the same role because Dominguez runs with it. Like, that would have been fine. But, I mean, the Stanton injury is just devastating because right now, the middle of this lineup, especially against left-handed pitching, and we're going to see two left-handed pitchers with the Mets in the next 2 days, Stanton is a force in the middle of that lineup. Even when he's not going well, he's an imposing figure that pitchers don't want to pitch to with runners on base. There's just he hits it harder than anybody else in baseball. And this is it's a tough injury without the replacement of Dominguez. It really is. And we'll see what, they're going to bring up, obviously they trade with Oakland for J.D. Davis, who's going to come in and play first base. And platoon first base. And I got a real, I don't understand it. I got an issue with that. 888-808-1019. Let's take another call, and we'll talk about J.D. Davis next. Dan in Manhattan! Dan, what's going on?
Chris, what is the deal with Stanton? How much do we blame the training staff? Can this guy do Pilates? None. Can he be stretched out? Can he get massaged? Why can't he run as a professional athlete? What do you think the deal is with him?
Because he's just prone to soft tissue damage. I don't think there's... Yeah, I mean, what do you think they're doing? You think he's just, like, sitting on the couch and eating Cheetos, watching TV when he's not playing baseball? They all work. They're working him out, Dan!
I mean, he's a physical specimen.
Yes.
But he can't sprint?
Correct. Amazingly enough.
Guys in the NFL, are running, what, 4.4 40s? I really don't get it.
I don't get it. It's one of those things. I don't know what to say. It's happened so much that he's prone to it. I don't know what else to say. You're not wrong, but now we're there. That's the case. I can't make it different. I certainly don't blame the Yankees for it. I mean, I don't know. You think that if he was with an NFL team, he'd be able to run, and that the way they do things is different? It's just, this is a guy who can't, and I'm sorry, there's just so much. I mean, can you close your window or whatever's going on? I mean, listen, I shouldn't yell at you. Thank you for calling at 2:25 in the morning. I appreciate it. You can call from wherever. I don't care. You can call from the middle of the dance floor for all I care. But, I mean, I'm not going to blame the Yankees. Can he do Pilates? Like, I mean, this is where it cracks me up. Like, I understand we all hate the Yankees. Do you think they're morons? Do you think they haven't? The guy transformed his body. He got leaner. He changed his workouts. He's been working on it. The guy can't go 162. And I think we forget the nature because it's just jogging and it's 162. It's travel. It's different time zones. It's a lot of flying. It is wear and tear on the body, even though it seems like, and I know people are scoffing right now through their phones. Wear and tear on the body. You know I drag my ass to work every single day. No, I know. Of course you do. And God bless you. But this guy, over the course of 162, he is never going to play healthy. He's never going to make it through an entire season. We knew it. They went in, and the problem is, it seems like right now there's no answer for it, but they had Dominguez waiting in the wings. How many answers could you have for it? Like, when we talk about the roster that Cashman built, of course, there are flaws in the roster. We knew there were flaws going into the roster and into the season. I'm telling you right now, myself included, I'll be the first one to raise my hand. If you would have told me that they'd be a game and a half up on Baltimore on, what's today, the 24th? If you would have told me on June 24th, the New York Yankees would have the best record in the American League, they would be 24 games over 500, and they'd be up a game and a half on Baltimore, I would have, where do I sign? I did not expect that it to be that good, especially without Gerrit Cole. Never in a million years did I think it'd be that good. Never in a million years. And that's not, you know, that's not making excuses. Everyone thinks everything you say, if you give the Yankees any sort of credit, it's making an excuse. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that Brian Cashman put together a roster that's far outperformed what I expected it to, and we knew there were holes going in, and we knew the trade deadline was going to have to be somewhere that they improve and still attack building this roster, that the roster was never going to be complete, which is the same for most teams, by the way, until they hit the trade deadline. And assuming it didn't happen too early in the season, at some point, if Stanton went down, and I shouldn't say if, when Stanton went down, you would have Dominguez there to come back. That Dominguez was going to be there in case Stanton went down, in case Verdugo sucked, in case anybody else in the outfield or whatever went down. Like, Dominguez was there in the wing, waiting in the wings. He pulled an oblique. Right now, we'd be almost excited. Yankee fans, despite how good Stanton's been, I don't think anybody, you know, would be happy that he got hurt. He's playing so well. But we'd almost be excited. Hey, Dominguez is back. We would almost look at it the way we looked at Rizzo. Hey, Ben Rice is here. Yes, Dominguez is back. Finally, Judge is going to have days to play DH. Soto, who's played poor defensively, after being great defensively for a lot of the year, he's played poor defensively recently. Oh, you know, give Soto a break. You know, Verdugo stinks. Get a switch hitter in there. And now he's not there. And right now, they are, I mean, just, and to add this to what's gone on here, they have no recourse until the trade deadline. They have got to figure out a way to make it through the next month, month and a half, until the trade deadline, a month and a week, whatever it is, a month and a couple days. They're going to have to figure this out because there are no, like, it's going to be J.D. Davis. That's it. And it's going to be calling up other prospects. But right now, you finally, hopefully, Cole's second start, you're going to see him go a little bit deeper into the game. And still, I believe in the starting pitching. I believe in the starting pitching. I still believe in the closer. The bullpen needs a bunch of help. They're going to revamp it all the time. Gomez was great the other night. Hopefully, he can be a piece now moving forward. Nestor saved the bullpen. They should be in a good spot here with a day off heading into the Subway Series. And they're going to have to find a way to play better. But this is a tough injury. And I'm going to get to how J.D. Davis is going to be used. Because I'm not sure I understand what I heard from Aaron Boone.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
Woo! All right, so I mentioned I was at the game Saturday night. I wanted to do this. First off, got to throw it out to my man, Zuck. Great job with the tickets. Unbelievable seats. I got to send him an email later thanking him. It was wonderful. We had a great, great game. Great night. And I have to say this. I have never in my life left a game with a ball. I've never caught a foul ball. I've never caught a home run or ball put in play. I've never had anyone toss me a ball. Nothing. Never in my life of going to games. Now, I haven't been to, when I was young, I didn't go to a million, but over the last, you know, 20 years, I've been to a ton of baseball games, and I've never even come close to catching a foul ball or getting anything. And thankfully, my sons won't have to live with my shame. My sons will never know what it's like to be 40 years old and feel like you are a magnet against, you know, two polar opposites of a baseball, because they came home with a ball, our first Major League Baseball in the McMonagle household. And I just want to thank the young fan, and I'm talking about young. And this is what's great about Yankee fans. And I know I've been fighting with a lot of you lately because a lot of you are just plain stupid. No, I'm just kidding. A lot of you are gloom and doom, and I'm just not gloom and doom. But every once in a while, Yankee fans are just wonderful people. And this young fan who had to be 12 years old, I guess, caught a foul ball and walked right over to my son, who was sitting there in his Stanton jersey as Stanton leaves the game injured. And he handed it to my son and gave it to my son and said, "I already caught one today. Would you like this one?" I'm like, my whole life. You have an extra one? It was like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. You want my extra pair of gloves? Like, how did you catch two foul balls today? And he gave it to my son and we left. They were extremely excited. Had a great time at the game and left with a foul ball. And because I'm both cheap and had nothing else to do, we went there ridiculously early and I found street parking as opposed to paying the $45 it costs to pay for parking. So I was happy about that. We went there early. We were walking the streets, hanging out, hanging around the ballpark, got in for batting practice. We were in the outfield for batting practice. Just a great overall day. Yankees got a victory. Stroman, really great pitching performance. It's going to get lost that game because they did lose the series and get pounded on Friday night. They come back, they win Saturday, and they lose yesterday. And obviously just the offense is struggling. And Soto, oh yeah, let me get to Soto real quick, because here's the thing about Juan Soto. We all love him, right? We all want him here forever. I think nothing has changed. He's struggling a little bit. It goes with the territory. That's why I've been saying from the beginning of the season, Aaron Judge is the better player. I've been saying it forever. Aaron Judge is non-human. Soto is a Hall of Fame caliber player who happens to be 26 years old and came up at 19 or whatever how old he was. And so he'll get the contract and we all want him. He's a great player, Hall of Fame caliber player, unbelievable in everything he does. Every pitch is a battle, the whole nine. But we all know Judge is non-human. And he's on pace. He had a miserable April, and he's on the same pace he was 2 years ago. It's crazy. But I got to tell you, that for the first time, what happened yesterday was a terrible look for Juan Soto. In a, you know, late in the game, trailing in the funk that this Yankee team is in right now, and the way they're playing, and everything going on for this, you know, for a player like him, who consistently, and let's be fair, all right, let's just be fair. When you're losing and you're struggling, this stuff sucks. And the complaining all the time, I know the Brave broadcasters got on him for, you know, complaining about a strike. It was a strike, and he's complaining about it, and he does this all the time. It's one of those guys, there's no doubt about it. The one thing about Juan Soto, now watching him every day, when he's on your team and he's got a 1 OPS and he's been clutch and he leads the league in walks and has been, you know, really overall great. And the fan base, the roll call, he must have got 3 or 4 roll calls at the game on Saturday I was at. Like every time there was a downtime, they started chanting Juan Soto. And rightfully so. He's been great. He's been better on the outfield than I thought he was, although he struggled recently. He's been better on the base paths than I thought he was. Like, he's just an overall better athlete. I was kind of under the assumption that even at that young age, he's just a hitter and he doesn't do much else for you. One-dimensional player is what I was told. And I think while he's certainly not a burner on the base path and while he's not a Gold Glover in right field, I think he's been perfect. I think he's been a plus in right field. And on the base path, he looks fine. Up until recently, his right field play has been great. And I'm concerned about whether or not he's actually hampered by this forearm injury or anything else. But he's one of those players, when you watch him every day, if he's on your team, you love him, he's your guy. And if he's on another team, the act gets old. I get that. I do. The act gets old. He's arguing. I mean, these are the same things that bother me about, if you're a non-Met fan or a Met hater, Jeff McNeil. For me, it was Dustin Pedroia. Like, he's never seen a strike. Now, he knows the strike zone better than anyone alive. That's his great gift, right? He knows the strike zone better than anyone alive. And you would think on close pitches that he would get the benefit of the doubt. On times he does, sometimes he doesn't. But it's just to step out, to call time, and just assume, and it was right there. I'm sorry. And I know Boone kind of walked. He didn't know how to answer it in the post game. When you call for time, of course, you have to make sure it's granted. It's baseball. When Boone was asked the question, this is why sometimes, you know, fans get on Boone, because he'll defend his players, but at almost lying or misleading the fan base. Like the other night with Rodon talking about, well, he kind of found it in the middle innings. He found nothing. He found barrels all night long. That's what he found. It's okay. I think Rodon's been great. He's had two bad starts. I think people who are already determined that he's a waste and a loser and a horrible contract and it'll never work out. He was pitching to a sub-3 ERA before his last two starts. Rodon's been great. He was awful in that game. And to try and tell us he found it in the middle innings is what bothers people. It doesn't bother me because I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't think that's the reason why Rodon pitches good or bad, whether or not Boone publicly humiliates him, when player after player, in interview after interview, and book after book I read, tells you Boone. And now Glaber's talking about Mendy, when he was a Yankee, getting all over him. The Yankees interior, the Yankees behind closed doors, Aaron Boone gets on players. He won't do it publicly. Fine. You want to get upset about it? Whatever. But saying that, oh, well, should when he was asked, should Juan Soto wait for the umpire to, well, you know, no, not well, you know. Yes, it's okay. Yes, Juan Soto has got to make sure time is called before he walks away from the pitch. That's it. And as great as he's been, and as much as I want the Yankees to pay him $600, $650, $700, $1 billion, whatever it takes to keep him, I want him paid. I want him here. I want him to be a Yankee for the next 12 years. There's no doubt. I love what he's brought to the team. It's brought intensity. It's brought a work ethic on every pitch. It changed Oswaldo Cabrera in some ways. It's been an overarching, more important, more positive than negative impact on the team. But when you're going badly, you gotta stay in there, and you can't have that happen. It can't happen. You cannot give up. You are too damn good to allow a fastball down the middle to be taken for strike three while you're looking in the opposite direction. That's a bad look. It can't happen. It's a bad look for Volpe, who's a great base runner, and has yet to been thrown out stealing third, but got thrown out at third base on a ground ball. Yes, it was behind him, but that's a play to shortstop. You got to make sure if you're going to go, you're safe. Otherwise, it's a brutal play. With Judge on deck, with Judge coming up, you can't do that. You can't change a runner in scoring position with Judge coming up. And that's the kind of stuff that teams do when they're in this funk. These are the kind of things bad teams do. And right now, the Yankees are a bad team. And I don't care if they're playing the Braves. I don't care if they're playing the Orioles. I don't care if they're playing the Minnesota Twins. I'm telling you right now, other than the Minnesota Twins, they would be the great elixir no matter how the Yankees are playing. But the Kansas City Royals come in to play the Yankees. Everybody tells me the Royals are inferior. You can't pay attention to the games against the Royals. The Royals would walk into Yankee Stadium today and beat the New York Yankees. That's how the New York Yankees are playing. But it's just part of it's part of the season. Did we think they were going to win 110 games? And by the way, everyone told me, I know I'm settling grievances right now, but everyone told me that you can't look at the four games against the Astros at the start of the year, that it's unfair. When we look at how the Yankees have played against good teams this year, or how they've played in big series when it's important to get up and play well, the Yankees have fallen flat. And then they tell me, well, you can't count the first four games of the year against the Astros because the Astros suck. And the Astros are five games under 500, and they're not the team they've been, so those games don't matter anymore. We didn't know it at the time, but it was the Yankees pounding a bad team. Okay, well, the Baltimore Orioles just lost three straight to them. And this is what bothers me. What bothers me is the Yankees lose to the Braves, and they can't beat a good team. And this one, and the Yankees lose to the Dodgers, and the Yankees stink. The Orioles lose to the Astros, and it's, well, the Astros, they caught the Astros when they were hot. The Astros just swept Baltimore. The Yankees lost 2 out of 3 and picked up a game in the standings. This is baseball. The Orioles just kicked the tar, right? Right? Scored 1 million runs in that game against the Yankees, took 2 out of 3, made a real statement in Yankee Stadium, and followed it up by getting their ass kicked by the Astros, who aren't any good, and I know so because I've been told by everybody because the Yankees beat them, and you know the Yankees only beat bad teams. This is a baseball season. The Orioles just found out that this is what happens in baseball. You show up to a team you're better than, you still lose 3. And right now, the Yankees are in an absolute funk, and there are holes. They're not going to get fixed to the trade deadline, and they do have the roster to play good baseball until then. They are still a first-place team. Gerrit Cole on the mound for his second start. The rotation's still pretty damn good. We're going to find out about Luis Gil against the Mets. And these two games, we're going to get more into the wild. We're going to get more into the Subway Series tomorrow on a 5-hour midnight ride. But these two games are important for both teams. Both teams now are dealing with injuries and/or suspensions. They're going to play without Stanton. They're going to play without Diaz. And right now, the Yankees have been struggling, and the Mets are on fire. And we're going to find out what happens in these two games. Jeff in Fairview, what's going on, Jeff? You're on the Fan.
Hello, Chris.
How are you, buddy? What's going on?
All right, I'm doing good. I tell you, Max Fried, he's a good pitcher.
He's an excellent pitcher.
He's also a good pitcher.
I know everyone's going to say Charlie Morton's 100 years old, but they threw through because that's the game the Yankees won. But all three pitchers the Braves threw at them are very good. Charlie Morton's still having a very good year. Sale was throwing 97, 98 miles an hour and looked very, very good.
That's a big...
And Max and Fried is an excellent pitcher, no doubt about it. And the Yankees got shut down, and every one of these games they've lost of late have been against left-handed pitching. Despite the fact that they have, you know, they had Stanton and they have Judge and you know, Gleyber Torres and some other hitters, they have really struggled against left-handed pitching. And the Mets are throwing 2 left-handers at them the next 2 days.
Well, that's why you got J.D. Davis. He hits lefties.
He does hit lefties, it is a good move. I'm going to get to it next, but go ahead. What else?
All right. Edwin Diaz, this guy's an idiot. I don't blame the manager for not having his back, because he knows. He's an idiot. I mean, the rules.
No, I agree with you. You got to know the rules.
Yeah, I mean, his teammates should be mad. I'm sure his teammates are pissed. We're on a run here, and he pulled this?
No, I mean
this guy... Go ahead.
No, you're 100% right. And I think, you know, Lindor, if you listen to the postgame of Lindor, he does kind of say, hey, listen, I still love him. I'm going to have his back and believe what he said. But you can tell this is not the time to mess around. This Met team's on a run. You can't afford this right now. I'm completely with you. And as arbitrary and stupid, and thank you for the call, Jeff, as dumb and ridiculous as this has been handled by Major League Baseball from the beginning of it, And again, I think I've been saying this forever, not just because it's affecting, you know, the Mets or the Yankees or whatever. This is just dumb. It's handled poorly. It is completely up to the umpire's discretion who deals out 10-game suspensions and making teams play with a roster spot down. That kind of severe penalty that hampers your team for a week and a half is going to be judged just by simply, this is stickier than normal? It's stupid. More than the umpire getting it wrong, more than anything else, it's just an idiotic way to go about it. And it hasn't popped up really on our radar. In our radar, I'm trying to think I don't know how many other guys throughout baseball have been banged this year for this or been, you know, suspended for it. It's kind of faded away. You don't think of it much. It doesn't happen much. Like, I remember watching, I was at the game, like I said, a couple times, on Saturday night, and when Tonkin came in from the Yankees, they stopped him out at, like, behind second base. And they would check in his belt. Like, they gave him a thorough check. I was watching it. They checked his belt. They checked his glove. They checked his hands. They checked his hat. Like, they gave him a real workover. And I was like, wow, they're still doing this to this level? I assumed they just, you know, it was a quick, you know, like that famous meme of the guy just, you know, rapidly, you know, frisking someone as they're letting him into the building. Like, I thought it was just a quick little feel the hands. All right, not that sticky. I mean, they really gave Tonkin a once over. I was waiting for the cavity search. It would have been awkward. But, I mean, I was shocked at how much they checked everything. So despite, like, you know what you're walking out to, and you know if your hand is covered in goop, they're going to get you. And you can't expect, if he was, I don't know if he is or was or whatever, you can't expect him to say, hey, look, this is too much. Go wash your hands. There is nowhere in the rule book are you guaranteed an opportunity to clean your hand off. You have got to know better. This is too much of an important time right now. The Mets are playing their best baseball of the year. They can't afford this right now. They can't afford to be down. They just lost Reed Foley. They're playing big games here. And now who knows? I don't know if I was driving in. I don't know. As soon as the game ended, I kind of got in the car. I don't know if he said anything about Drew Smith. I don't know what the diagnosis is for Drew Smith. But clearly something was bothering him. I mean, they might be, this bullpen could be in shambles for the next 10 days. And it's not like they can call someone up and take his place. You cannot allow that to happen, as dumb as the rules are. And then to allow him to walk off the field and not take his glove, like, I don't understand. Are we trying to find out what it was? Now, it could still be, like, rosin and sweat is against the rules if there's too much of it. Like, so there's no even, like, okay, I know if it's just rosin and sweat, I'm good. Nope, if you have too much of it, they'll bang you. Like, I don't understand. It's too convoluted. But having said that, I completely agree with you. You have to know the rules. You have to make sure your hands aren't that sticky. You have to make sure that you don't get this 10-game suspension. Getting kicked out of the game is bad enough. They had a 3-run lead. It wasn't devastating. They ended up, I mean, if they lost the game, we'd have felt differently about it. But that's punishment enough. But now the idea that the next 10 games are hampered, that this bullpen is down a guy after just losing Reed Foley, that this team is going to have to go attack this thing with a starting pitching rotation that I will tell you I've been rather impressed with, but they don't go deep in the games. Like, the bullpen is important for the Mets. You cannot let that happen. Miriam in Forest Hills. What's up, Miriam? How are you?
How you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you?
Okay.
Yeah, everything's great.
Listen, I think the Mets are going to win these two games against the Yankees. I have a feeling that they'll let Adrian Hauser pitch in the bullpen, which will help him.
Okay, yeah, and sure. I mean, he's been the bullpen, though.
Yeah, but I think he should stay there.
He will.
I also think they have kids that, if you don't know, when they had the 3 days off,
mm-hmm.
between, they had those kids from Brooklyn play, and you never know, one of them could be brought up now. Because they're not bad.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they're going to have to do something that they can't. They're going to have to take someone off the roster to bring someone up, because
yeah.
they have to play a man down. You're not allowed to refill Diaz's roster spot.
I know, but I'm saying they could bring up one of those kids.
Well, they talked about it. You know, and thank you for the call up against the break here, Miriam. Thank you very much for the call. Mendoza talked about it. The plan kind of was to, you know, get to this Yankee series, get to the day off. This Yankee series, for the Mets at least, is sandwiched by two off days. Get to the Thursday day off, and then probably call up Scott. I mean, that's pretty much what he said. I don't know if that's going to change. I don't know how they're going to view it. I don't know what they're going to do. They might need an extra bullpen arm now as opposed to a starting pitcher. Could they put McGill in the bullpen and bring up Scott to join the rotation? I don't know. We go to a six-man rotation? I don't know what their plans are, but right now, for 10 games, they're hampered. For 10 games, they're down a man. And I'm sorry. As much as I think this is all nonsense, and as much as I think this is poorly handled, and as much as it's arbitrary in every way, whether it has to be something that's, whether it has to be a foreign substance to get suspended, whether it has to be too sticky to get suspended, whether some guys are allowed to wash hands, some guys aren't allowed to wash hands, it's completely based on an umpire discretion on a such a severe penalty, it's dumb. Having said that, you can't go out there with your hand looking like that. I'm sorry. And I understand, and I'm open to the idea that he has and hasn't got suspended, so it's like, well, what's the difference? It's too much. He's got to go out there with less because at any moment, it is arbitrary. Like, you have to take that into account when you know that it doesn't take much, when you know there are no set guidelines that you can go by, when you know it's completely up to how the umpire is going to feel your hand and make a decision, you cannot have it being completely covered like that. It's on Diaz. I'm sorry, it is. It's on Diaz. He's got to be better. And this is a devastating suspension. It's tough for them right now. And we're going through this. This is where they're trying to make hay right now. Because if you look at it, right in the middle of this, you know, wild card, they just took advantage over the Cubs. So now the New York Mets are currently a game out behind the Padres. They're 2 games under 500. And everyone they're in front of, they're either tied with or have the advantage on. Everyone. This is an enormous stretch. And you just put the Cubs in that category. The Cubs are now a game behind the Mets, and the Mets own the tiebreaker. But in front of them, the Diamondbacks, who they split a 4-game series with, another series to come to decide who that one is. The Mets have already swept the Nationals. They beat the Padres, and they have a game up on the Cardinals. Other than the Braves, everybody who's in front of the Mets have the tiebreaker on. And they're a game out. This is an enormous stretch of baseball for the Mets. And they're now without their closer.